St. John chapter 16, starting with verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. When I was about 14 years old, I remember being somewhere, maybe in a church somewhere, a Sunday school class or something, or I just don't even remember where this was, but I remember having a Bible. I think my grandmother bought me a Bible. And I was either 14 or 12. I was a child. And I remember opening up the Bible, and my eyes fell on this verse. And I can remember, I was talking about spiritual things, remember, are eternal. I remember that verse 12 jumped out at me, and I knew it felt weird. It felt like the Bible was talking to me. It felt like somebody was saying these words to me. Now, I remember it, but then it was like, poof, gone. Poof, gone. But I never forgot that moment where I heard these words. And this is what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. And I realized it now that it was the Holy Spirit. But as a 12 and 13-year-old child, it just was like somebody talking to me, but it just kind of went away. And I never thought about it again until I read it again after I became a Christian at the age of 22. But this is what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, you know, years have gone by, and the Holy Spirit has said a lot more to me. He said a lot of things to me. But he brought this back to my mind this morning and to remind me that there are still many things that he wants to say to me, but I still can't bear it all. I'm still not ready to bear it all because there's way more to learn than what I know. And if we lived 300 lifetimes, you'd still have more to learn. So God brings us from glory to glory. He changes us from glory to glory. And what he was saying, though, and what he's saying to the church at large is that I have many things to say unto you. In fact, it's not just the whole church, it's individuals. The church is made up of individual people. The church is not a building. Everybody understands that, right? The church is not a building. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. And the church of Jesus Christ is made up of people who have given their hearts to Jesus. And the people who have surrendered their lives over to Jesus, they seek the Lord, and they seek and cry out to him because they know he's now alive. He's been risen from the dead, and he's a living God. And now you can know him, and he can come and live in your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. He's not standing at the door of your outside apartment or building of your home. He's standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. And he says, if any man will hear and open up that door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. You come to my home, knock on my door, I open the door, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get you a piece of cake. Rosemary will give you a tater. And a cup of tea. I'll give you a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. I'll give you something to sup with me with. We'll sit down at the table and we'll have a conversation. We're going to have a talk. We're going to have time together. We're going to commune together. It's a friendship. It's a fellowship. It's a relationship. And the Holy Spirit, even though Jesus is not here physically like we are, he is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how he sups with us. He talks to us through this person. He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a poof. He's not a cloud. He's not an imagination of your mind. He's a real being. And he's very, very, very real. And he wants to be more real to the church. He wants to be really real to you and me. And the only way to be really communing with the Lord is through the Holy Spirit. He's the only way you're going to sup with the Lord. The supping with the Lord is a big deal. And this goes on to the rest of the verse where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, there's many things to say. I have many things to say. Supping, talking, communing, sharing. I have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. There's times in my life where I thought, well, Lord, if you just showed me that, but I couldn't have handled it then. It would have run me away. It would have scared me. I couldn't have took it. You know, I just couldn't have handled it. But there's things he's sharing with me now. I got it. I can handle that now. And then later on, there's more. There's more coming. I just know there's more coming. We need more than what we've got. Y'all agree, we all need more than what we've got. But the time is coming, he's going to give us more as we can bear it. So get ready, because more is coming as we can handle it, as we can accept it, as we can embrace it, as we can say yes to it. He's not going to cram himself down your throat. He's not going to force you to serve him. He's not going to convict you and convince you that you got to do it my way or forget it. He's not like that. That's the devil's way. But he is waiting on us to be able to say yes to him. He's waiting on our hearts to be pliable and conditions, to lay down some of us, so we'll be waiting to take more of him. You know, really and truly, he wants to show us so much, but we've got to be willing to say yes to it. We've got to be willing to go along with it, be in agreement. The Lord told me a long time ago, he said, can two walk together? It's Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Said this 2,000 years ago to men that he walked and talked with for 3.5 years, who saw miracles, who saw mighty works of God, watched him walk on the water, watched him speak to the wind and the waves and the sea, and they were quieted, and they marveled. But yet there was things he did not share with them, he could not say to them, because they couldn't have handled it. They weren't prepared to receive it. He said, there's many things I would say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But there came a day when the disciples were able to hear some marvelous things. Even though they saw him feed 10,000 people or more, even though they saw him walk on the water, their hearts were not ready to receive these greater, magnificent truths and magnificent things they could talk together. And I'm going to tell you something else I believe about supping, where Jesus said, I stand at the door knocking. If any man will open up and let me come in, I will sup with him and he with me. So then, in other words, it's not just a one-way conversation. You have an opportunity every single day to talk to Jesus, to sup with him, to talk to him. See, I talk to Jesus. He talks to me. Now, I don't see him personally in physical form because he's not here in physical form. He was here in physical form 2,000 years ago, but he told his disciples, I'm going away. If you read St. John chapter 14, 15, 16, it's very elaborate what he says to them, what they could handle at the time. But how many knows that if he said they could not handle it right now, the things he was going to share with them, he meant that. So there was a future date, a future time, when God was going to talk to them again. And he has talked to them again. He talked that, you know, they didn't die when Jesus died. They lived on and carried on a ministry for many years. And he's still talking to his disciples. He's still talking to his church. He's still talking to people. That's us. So what is he saying? What is he saying to the church? He's saying the same thing right now. He said, church, there's many things. He's saying it to individuals. He's saying it to me. He's saying it to Darlene. He's saying, there's many things I want to say to you, many things I have to share with you. I just can't wait to get it out. I can't wait to tell you these mysteries. I can't wait to share with you about the magnificent things I have in store for your life. But you just can't, I want to so bad, but you just can't handle it right now. You're not ready for it yet. It'd scare you off. You might not even want to pray anymore. You might not want to come to church anymore. It might scare you so bad because it's so big. It's so magnificent. It's so beyond your understanding right now. You couldn't get it. You know, I would think that Einstein was a pretty lonely guy. He had to find special people to hang out with because he talked in a way that other people, you know, who's supping with Einstein? I don't know anybody. I couldn't have sat with Einstein, had a conversation along with him. I mean, I could have talked about the weather, I guess. But I'm talking on a level that he could have really been a benefit to him, his friend, and they could have been a benefit to him. Who's going to benefit Einstein? Who's going to share anything that Einstein could help him out with? That's the kind of experience. I'm trying to make it understandable what I'm saying here. This is the Son of God talking. Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory, talking to church, the church. We're special to him. He's waiting on a people that can come up and sup with him and sit on that level, being seated with him in heavenly places. When you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that's a high, and you really already are. He woke me up. He woke me up one morning, as plain as anything, and said these words to me through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said this to me. Jesus didn't tap me on the, wake me up and talk to me physically. But the Holy Spirit, in my human spirit, I heard these words. He said, I did not die for you that you so you could be rich. I died for you so you could be seated with me in heavenly places. This prosperity message, I don't see a thing wrong with prosperity messages. But you don't hear me preach too much about that because I believe it's been distorted and misunderstood. I believe if you'll find out who you really are in Christ, if you'll find out who he really is in you, the hope of glory, if you really get a relationship and hook up with the King and you start walking with him, talking with him, living for him, surrendering your life to him, being submissive to him, being led by the Spirit of God, he said, as many as received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God. Power to become sons of God. The Son of God, we really don't know what that kind of being looks like on the earth. We can envision it, but I haven't seen too many folks that look like sons of God. I'm talking still living on the earth. But if you know that you're seated right now, and you have that revelation in your spirit, that you're seated with him right now in heavenly places, but I'm still here. I'm still in the flesh. But that's not what Jesus said to me. He said, I didn't die so you could be rich. I died so you could be seated with me right now in heavenly places. We've been made to sit. The Bible says in Ephesians, we've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and all dominion and all every name that is named in heaven and in earth. That's a hard saying for some folks to bear. It's hard for people to get their head around that. Can't wrap their thinker around that. It's because it's very spiritual. And now let me show the rest of this. How be it? Then he says, okay, but, however, or how be it, however, when the day comes, talking to Peter, James, and John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Andrew, Thomas, all of the disciples, he's talking to all of them, the 120. He's saying there's coming a day when the Spirit of truth is come. When he's come, he hadn't come yet. When he has come, guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen when he does come, guys? He can't come until I leave. He told them, he said, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Ghost back to you. They didn't want Jesus to leave. If you hung out with Jesus for 3.5 years, in that day and time, and you, just imagine, Jesus is your best friend. You're supping with Jesus. You're hanging out, you're following Jesus. He asked you to come. Come on, let's go. All over Judea, all over Galilee, all the cities he preached. They left a very lucrative business to follow Jesus. They left their father's probably ancestral business. That family-owned business that was passed on and passed on and passed on for generations. They walked away from their lucrative fishing business. Many of them worked like dogs every day just to make a living. Survival was kind of on the mind. Survival was on their mind. But they started listening and following Jesus. He began to speak about something beyond this life. Things that he said, like, take no thought what you're going to eat. Take no thought what you're going to drink. Take no thought. We shared that one night here. He said things that just blew them away. What are you talking about? take no thought. That's all they ever did was, that's all they were conditioned to do was to take thought about what's going to happen next and how we're going to feed our families, how we're going to put clothes on them. I can't even imagine a time when you got to go out and shear a sheep and take that wool and spin it on a spinning wheel and make some yarn and then put it on a loom to make a piece of cloth, and then you got to sew that piece together. I can't even imagine when people had to do that kind of thing. I can't even imagine that, you know? But they had to take thought about a lot of things in that day and time, but Jesus said, don't think about that. Seek first the kingdom. He was talking about this day when the Spirit of truth has come, when he will guide you into some truth, all truth, all truth. And I didn't know a thing. When the Lord spoke these words to me, I'm thinking, what is truth? I really would like to know truth. I'd really like to know what's real. I think the word real comes to me. I can remember the word real. There's so much phony stuff. You know, stuff isn't real anymore. You take a diamond, the first thing that jeweler does is he puts it under a special microscope or whatever it is, and they test it to see if it's the real deal. And they can even measure the quality of that stone, how much carbon is in it, the cut of it, the quality, the shape, size, all those things matter. So if you think about having the real truth about everything available to you, I just went on a treasure hunt. I just started out on a treasure hunt as a young Christian. And I didn't understand I didn't understand anything. But if he said the Spirit of truth was coming on board and he's coming to live in you, and he did, he was with me when he told me that, I recognize that I have somebody inside me and he is the Spirit of truth, and it says that he will guide you. Okay, I've got someone with me guiding me. I've got someone with me who knows all about the future. I've got somebody living in me who knows all the secrets of the universe. I've got someone living in me who has all kinds of wonderful things to tell me. And I have a Holy Spirit who loves me, who's with me, because Jesus sent him to me. And Jesus talks to me through this person of the Holy Spirit, because he goes on and says, he shall not speak of himself. He doesn't go around bragging on himself or talking about what he believes, what he thinks, and his way. He only is a communicator for Jesus. Power of the Holy Spirit. He only glorifies Jesus. Jesus. The Holy Spirit is sent to live in you, to be your guide, to be your helper, to be your comforter, to be your... The Greek is paraclete, the one that goes along beside you. And he's the one who talks to you. Now, he talks to you all right, but he gets orders from headquarters. He's with the Father too. He's in heaven too. So he's living in heaven and he's living in you and me. How in the world? I don't know how it works, but I know it works. I know that's how God did it. He's a big God. Now here's what he says. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now this is the great part. And he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Sounds like a fortune teller, doesn't it? Sounds like it's just too good to be true. But it is true. But he isn't a fortune teller. Because God is all-knowing. God's all-knowing. He knows the past totally, and he knows the future totally. But he knows your future. And your future is not set in stone. Your and I future is not set in stone. Because we determine our future. We have more to do with our future than what God does. Really. Because God has provided something called a free will in every single human being. Free will. Free will is a big deal with God. Free will. And choices are available in this picture of the free will. If you didn't have a choice, if you always had to only have one choice, then that's no free will in that, is there? That's not free will if there's just one choice. It's not about what you can choose. It's about being able to choose something wrong as well as something right. Now you got free choice. Think about that a minute. Hey, there is something special, something so wonderful about being able to walk with God and be free of clear conscience. The conscience, your spirit man, is clean. You have a clear conscience about your life. And when you go to Him, there's so much confidence in your prayer life. Just so much confidence inside you when you can go to God and talk to Him. And have this conversation with Him. A conversation with God is a very important thing. Oh, you got one. A conversation with God is powerful. And the Father's heart, I'm going to tell you, the Father's heart is for His children, His sons and daughters, His children, to really be able to talk to Him on a level that will change the world. Talk to Him on a level that He can get involved in your world. Talk to Him on a level that He can experience the changes He wants you to experience. Do you know, I believe, based on what I understand in this word, is that God has limited Himself on the earth to His church. What He wants to do on this earth is limited to our prayer life. I believe that based on what I've read in this word. And there's many theologians who know way more than I do that say the same thing. That God is limited, His ability, His power that works in this earth, to His church. Because if you look at what Jesus said, Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, this is after He was risen from the dead, was seen above. Do you know Jesus was seen above 500 witnesses in those 40 days space before He left earth? Before He took off from earth and took off and left and went back to heaven, He was physically seen. He ate with people. He talked with people. He shared more gospel with people. But He never healed another person. He never healed another person. And there were still sick people everywhere. But He never healed another person after He rose from the dead. And for that. Because the delegation of that authority has been to the church. In Matthew 26, He says, all power, or maybe it's 28. In Matthew, He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. Preach the gospel. Whoever believes shall be saved. Who doesn't believe will be damned. It's like here's that choice thing again. But Mark 16:14 says, afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or the good news. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall, in my name. This is delegated authority. It's no different. The in my name statement here is no different than if you had a very, very, very wealthy, rich relative who totally gave you power of attorney. And gave you all authority. Just take my authority here and use it. Now, Jesus is still alive. Even though He died to ratify that new covenant, He gave them the name after His death, burial, and resurrection. We have the name. The name. So if you understand how power of attorney works, you can go into any bank account or in any store and use that name. Sign off on that check. Sign on, and it's through your prayer life that you do that. In the name. If you notice that the prayer that the disciples pray, that he taught the disciples while he was here on earth, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory. Then God, when he died, but there's no in the name of Jesus. There's no in the name of Jesus in that prayer, is there? Don't pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. That was a prayer that they prayed under Jewish law, under covenant, the old covenant time. I mean, it's still true. Everything in that is still true. But he's given us the name now. In my name shall they cast out devils. I couldn't have handled that when I was 12, when the Holy Spirit spoke those words to me. There's many things I would tell you, but you cannot bear them now. I tell some of the things that's happened to me, and they'd have like, I don't want anything to do with this woman. This woman's weird. See, they just can't bear that revelation. They can't bear that truth. But Jesus says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents. And in the name, they shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. And in the name of Jesus, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Everything is in that delegated authority realm. Everything. And so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, which he's still there. And they went forth and preached everywhere. They believed what Jesus told them. They really received this. They received this revelation. And the Lord working with them, confirming the word, confirming. Would you just hate to have somebody send you out to do a job and not back you up? Wouldn't that just be terrible? He can only confirm the word that comes out of your spirit man that you believe. And you speak it in the name. And you know that a power and that authority is totally backing you up. That's the word that is confirmed by the Lord. If you're just out here playing church and frivolously talking scripture and throwing scripture out there, most people don't know the will of God for him to even stamp the approval on. They're still praying prayers like, Lord, do this for me if it be your will. The Holy Spirit is the only person in the earth that confirms this word. He is the one who does the works. He's the one who, the Holy Spirit is the power of God in the earth right now. He touches them through the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't leave his throne. He is here in the person of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he can show up in a vision. I saw Jesus in a vision. But even if he showed up in a person, in a form of a physical form, it's still a vision. The Holy Spirit is the only part of the Godhead who is in the earth working right now. And if he doesn't use us, he doesn't have anybody to use. He's got to find somebody who believes the word. He that believeth, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now there's deeper revelation to that. Because when you get saved, that's just not the end of it. We're more of a spirit being than we are anything else. And until the church realizes that, you're not a mind. When you leave this world, your mind will go with you wherever you go. But your spirit man is really the real you. And that's the part of you and I. Your heart is where God lives. The Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. The Holy Spirit isn't a mind. He doesn't talk to your mind. He talks to your spirit. He talks to your heart. He lives in your heart. He comes to live in you, dwells in you. And see, we really are not God inside minded at all. I mean, some of us are, but not to the degree he wants us to be. Not to the degree he challenges us to be. Do you ever feel like the Lord is challenging you to be more God inside minded? It's because he is. He wants you to be more God inside minded, because the more God inside minded you are and the more inner man minded you are, then you won't rely so much on your head for everything. Well, I always have to figure it out. Well, the Lord says, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. See, now you've got a teacher who guides you into truth. You don't have to figure it out anymore. But you've got someone you can really, really trust to reveal truth to you. That's an awesome, breakthrough for most folks. The awesome breakthrough for me, because I didn't trust anybody. Most people don't trust anybody because you've been mistreated. You have been let down by many, many people, especially people you really thought should have been there for you. They've really let you down. But I'm going to promise you, the Lord will never let you down, ever, because He can't. This is a truth that God revealed to me. And the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and He said, if I was to fail one single word of my promises to you, it would be sin. It would be a lie. If I ever lied, if I did not do what I said I would do for you, then it would be a lie. Show me the stars. He said, if I was to lie, if I was to even tell one tiny little lie. See, we think of lies being on degrees. A lie is a lie, honey. A lie, a little lie is the same as a big lie. A lie is just a lie. It's like, you know, there's little spiders, there's big spiders, they're all spiders, okay? A lie is just a lie. And there's, you know, big sin, little sin. No, it's all sin. And God shared with me, He said, if I was to ever sin at all, the universe would blow up. The universe would just, the stars would just fling out of orbit. Everything would be total chaos. Because God is such a God of perfect order and perfect design and perfect everything. His word upholds everything. Everything. In Hebrews it says He upholds all things by the word of His power. That's how important words are to God. So if He speaks a word to me, I need to really, it's not God's fault if I don't believe it, because He'll keep that word. He'll totally keep that word. But I have to believe it. I have to sing 3 meals a day or 2 meals a day, would you? At least one good hot meal a day. But most Christians, they live on a cold spiritual snack, and they think they're going to be devil whoopers. They think they're going to cast out devils. They think they're going to do these mighty works that God has called them to do. And you're just not going to do it on a snack. You've got to have your spirit man fed every single day. I feed on the Word. I feed on the Word of God because it's my spiritual food. And you have to let the Holy Spirit show you where your pasture is for that day. You relate to that. The Holy Spirit knows what you need to feed, what revelation you need. Many things He wants to tell us, but we can't handle it now. But He knows where you can go, and you can munch on some good stuff you can handle. And you need to eat every single day out of the Word of God, because it's your spiritual. It's Jesus talking to you. The Word is Jesus, and He wants through the Holy Spirit to feed you. Now, I've been buying these power bars lately. They've been, man, I love power bars. I can eat a power bar, and buddy, I'm ready to get out and go get it done. And sometimes it's like that with the Word. When I feel drained emotionally, or I feel drained physically, I've taken the Word. It's like medicine. In fact, the Bible says it's life to those that find it and helped all their flesh. Your flesh will be affected by the Word of God, because your spirit man is your dynamo, and it affects your physical body. I remind myself who I am and whose I am and who's living in me. And what He deposits, I've made the deposits. You know, the truth of it is, there's not a word in you right now. There's not a scripture in you right now that you didn't have a part in getting it in your being. There's not a revelation that God ever put in you that you didn't have a part in it. That's a truth. You had to want it, you had to seek it, and you had to read it. Or hear it on a radio, or hear it on TV. I mean, God had to, you had to give your attention to it. And then to keep it and maintain it, you got to say it. Did you know that? That's just the way it works. Now, I'm saying this. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It might take you 30 days to really believe that and to look at that scripture and say, I'm going to have that. I want to have that living and working and functioning in my life. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When you get that revelation in here and you get it coming out of here and you really believe it in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, he wants to talk to us and tell us many, many things. But if it's going to fall on deaf ears, if we don't take it to heart, if we don't say, I receive it, and then believe it, it doesn't do any good. It's like, the kid that takes his medicine and spits it out. I trust this word to be the word. I trust God to be God. And I know his word works. It's powerful. In fact, it says the word of God is quick and powerful, than sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. The biggest problem I had as a baby Christian, a young Christian, was I could not discern whose voice I was hearing. Is this the devil talking to me? Is it my emotions talking to me? Or is it God talking to me by the Holy Spirit? And the longer I serve God and the closer I walk with God and the more I get a revelation, I get in his word and get to know him by his word, I can't know God by my feelings. You'll never know God by your feelings, ever, ever. You can't know God by your emotions. You can't trust your emotions. Just set them on the sideline. Set emotions. Next time you have an emotional fit, like I used to have, and still sometimes want to do, I just set it aside and I said, no, that's not real. I want the reality of God's word to manifest. That's what is real. Emotions, you can't know God by your emotions. You can't know God by your feelings, but you can know God 100% of the time in a situation by his word. And if you don't have a word, get a word. If you've got a problem, get a word from God on it. God will talk to you. And Jesus even said this, if you go through these scriptures that I shared with you today, he said, I'll manifest myself to you. I'll show up. But Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says, continue here, how close, the word nigh thee, how close can you get to the word? How close can you get to the word of God? You can hold it in your lap. You can look at the pages. You could even read it. But is that really as close as you can get to the word of God? I'm talking the word of God. God's got a mouth. God talks. How close can you get to the word of God? He says the word is nigh you. Close when it's in your mouth. That's the key to victory over every problem in this life. 100%. I don't care what the problem is. If you can just get the word in your mouth and get it nigh you with your mouth, getting that word in your mouth. But we want to say things totally opposite to that word, don't we? Mm-hmm. Look at a problem. Look at a situation. Oh, yeah, I'm just quoting word to that. Yeah, quoting word to that. Really? No, usually it's bad stuff. Mm-hmm. We're agreeing with it. I just can't keep a car running. Everything I have is breaking down. I don't know what all, I don't even say things like that anymore, but I know people do. Mm-hmm. But if you can get the word in your mouth, that's how close God can be to you. In your city, you can lean on the Holy Spirit to tame your tongue. He will teach you and show you what to say. He'll give you revelation. Oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit is your most important companion ever. I'm never alone, ever. You learn to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. We all do that. But see, that validates that word. That's why believing in the heart that Jesus rose from the dead validates the word for the believer. The sinner, the world doesn't have this. Every word Jesus, it's a wheel. This word is a wheel. My mother had a wheel for years before she passed away. But it wasn't valid until she went into heaven. Jesus went to heaven and died to validate the will. And now he's alive to make sure it gets taken care of and executed. And he's delegated the authority to the church. And he's working with them. Doesn't it say that? The Lord went with them, working everywhere as they preached the word. The signs always follow the word preached. And I'm not just talking about preaching. And this is not just talking about me preaching in a church or you preaching in a church or you preaching to somebody. Preach is a proclamation. It means you believe it in your heart and you proclaim it. And you can see the Lord following you in signs and wonders no matter where you are. You can be in a grocery store and start proclaiming the word of God. Not to so much people, but anything you can believe. I don't know if that makes sense, but as you grow in your walk with God, you confess with your mouth the word. The word and Jesus are equal. You can't separate them. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, which validates that word you spoke. You will be delivered. You will be delivered, saved. Salvation is not just about being born again. It's not limited to just going to heaven. It's learning how to walk in salvation that's been provided for every single day of your life. And no matter what the situation is. Romans 10:17 says, Now faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Not having heard one time, but you make yourself hear it. I talk the word. I preach the word. I go to sleep thinking about the word. And I pray in tongues a lot. Because tongues is a very powerful. I don't have time to go into all those things. But this is basic. These are the basic things I wanted to share today. Did you get something today? Yes. And the main goal is to walk in the peace and the joy of the Lord. Because he says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The devil wants to destroy us. And we just got to know how to deal with him. Don't come and ask God, Lord, please make the devil stop bothering me. Because that is not going to happen. God is not going to make the devil stop bothering you. You got to deal with the devil. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say to ask God to deal with the devil. He says you resist the devil. And that's how you resist him, with the Word. Ignore him. I was sharing with you this morning, the best thing you can do is ignore him. Don't talk to him. He likes a conversation. He likes it when you acknowledge him. I just ignore him. That torments him more than anything. You want to make the devil really mad? Act like he's not there, no matter what he's doing. Act like he's not real. Make God more real. Make his word the authority. I gave you some prayers here to study about. My heart is to get very proficient at each and every one of these. Not just for my sake, but for everybody. It's going to be awesome when we wake up one day and we see ourselves as the beautiful bride of Christ the way Jesus sees us. He sees us that way. He's us victorious 100% of the time. He doesn't know defeat because he has no defeat in him. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. There is no defeat in the kingdom. No such thing as a quitter or a loser in Jesus. I mean, you can quit, but as long as you stand on his word, he can't fail his word. Remember the stars will fling out? You can count on him. He's a faithful God. So take this with you. Take this home and study these and these guidelines. I didn't get to go through all of them, but the Lord is your helper. Well, Father, I seal this word this morning, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help, your aid, and lives and touching hearts here. And whatever you would have for us, prepare us.